So who can corporately tell me what we're going to talk about today? Lunch. Well, we are going to talk about lunch. We're going to talk about ripe. Everybody say ripe. So go over it with me. What does R stand for? If you need some help, we have the cheat. Sheet right up here. R stands for what? Everybody together. R stands for what?
Read.
I stands for what?
Read.
Invite. P stands for what?
Pray.
And E stands for what?
Expect.
And if you don't know what this is, I was kind of minding my own business one night. How many know sometimes, actually it was one morning, early morning, how many know sometimes the Holy Spirit will wake you up and want to talk to you? Okay, so I kind of wasn't even fully awake, and he started to speak to me, and he gave me R, and right after that, he gave me I, and then P, and then E, and it was so fast, and in about a matter of a second and a half, I had this whole formula of what I knew that we needed to work on at our church, and this is what we need to work on, and I've used the example of it's like when my wife is going to make some guacamole. How many know you can totally be hungry for guacamole, but if the avocado says it ain't time, how many know it don't make any difference? You know, get the peanut butter and jelly out, right? Is that not right? I mean, it don't make any difference. You know, that avocado saying we ain't having, why? Because it's not what? It's not what?
Ripe.
It's not ripe. God wants to use us to minister his grace and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness. Let me tell you what, I'll give you a deep theology. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is crazy in love with the world. And even though they have rejected him, he still gave his son knowing that there would be people who would accept Jesus Christ. And it's our opportunity to be ready for his service, to be ripe. So when Tamara goes to grab that avocado, you know what? Matter of fact, I feel like some, honey, could you make some guacamole? Did you buy some the other day? No? Well, go over to Superior today and see if we got something good. But here's what God wants to do. When he sees people that he wants to minister to, he's going to come to us and grab people that are ripe, that are ready for his service, that are ready to be used. Does this make sense? And so, and I just got done teaching this text that we're going to talk about today. But how many know the word is always pregnant? It's always, the word is always ripe. And you can go look at the same text. We just got done teaching this text on Wednesday, but I'm going to look at it completely in a different aspect that's going to be a blessing to you today. Because what I want to show you is I want to show you two men that were used radically, radically for Christ. And I want to show you why they were used. See, my preaching today is to inform you that God wants to use all of us. And we think it's, you know what, eeny, meeny, miny, you know what, John, eeny, meeny, miny, Peter, you know what I mean? And we're hoping we're a John or a Peter, but if that's not us, then it's like, oh, well, I guess God, no. God wants to use every one of us. Amen? And so I want to spend some time to talk to you about preparing yourself to be used in a radical way, in an awesome way. Now, somebody said we're going to talk about lunch, okay? How many know How many know what, I didn't even know what this, what kind of lunch pail is this? Hello Kitty with the mustache. I didn't even know. I was like, what is that? You know what I mean? I mean, I could figure out. I knew this was a Hello Kitty. You know what I mean? How many know somebody in our family used to like Hello Kitty? Okay, I won't tell you who, but you could probably figure it out. You know, you could probably, you know, you could. Just joking, okay. But you guys could probably figure it out. But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand. You know what? Who would like the lunch in this lunch pail? Who wants a lunch in this lunch pail? Okay, just one per two. Okay, who wants the lunch in this lunch pail? Oh, a couple more. You want the lunch in this lunch pail? Who wants the lunch in this lunch pail? Oh, wow. Who wants the lunch in this lunch pail? Okay, here's the thing. You know what? Here is. Well, let me. Let's just keep this on hold for a little while, and when I get to it, you'll go, oh, that's obvious. Let's look at some scripture. How many know the word is what's really going to enlighten us as far as how we're going to live our life? So let's look at some passages that I think will be very helpful to us today. And I like using all kinds of passages in the Bible, but I love using passages that we just got done reading. Because it helps me to, for one, it's kind of in your mind, you're like, yeah, I just read that, that's good. You know, so you feel more engaged. And it just encourages the whole church. Let's read together. If you haven't picked up a reading sheet, pick up a reading sheet, find out where we are, and start reading with us. If you have the app, you can just go to the app and look it up any day. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit told us a long time ago is to start reading the scripture together. And so Acts chapter 3, you read that not so long ago. But I want to go over a couple of passages with you real quick as a start. And again, you should be familiar with this story. If that's not, that's okay. No problem. But let's go over this story. It's an awesome story. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They're going to church. And notice, they're going not only to church. Where are they going to church for? Everybody say to pray. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried out. How many know this guy was always, never could walk? Whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and ask alms, that's money, from those who entered the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. Guys, just flow with me. I'm going to go through this to the ninth verse. And fixing the eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look on us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but that which is high have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the gate with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praised God. Amen. Is that a great story? But I want us to look specifically at verse 6 and look at this. Look what he says in verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. But what I do have. You know what? We live in an interesting time, and it seems to all be about what is on the outside. Does it not? There's so much focus on looks. There's so much focus on the outside. But there's not a lot of focus, I believe, on the inside. How many know you can have the coolest lunch pail in the world? But how many know when it's ready to eat lunch, it doesn't really make any difference what the outside is. You know what? You might not have the coolest lunch bag, but how many know sometimes what's on the inside is way important than what's on the outside? Can you say amen to me? And so, you know what? And really, and I'm getting way in front of myself, but I want to tell you what my point is today, and it's this, that whether you selected this for your lunch or this for your lunch or this for your lunch or this for your lunch, it really doesn't make any difference what's on the outside. It makes a difference what's on the inside. Amen. And what is on the inside is based on someone who did preparation to prepare for lunchtime way later on. Is somebody lights going on? See, Peter and John, you know what, weren't lucky. They were committed. They had done what they needed to do, so when the opportunity came, they had something on the inside. But that which we have, they had something. Acts chapter 4, and look at starting with verse 1. And guys, same thing, I'm going to read through this real quick. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain and of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So here's what's going on. Same story, but everybody's praising God. Everybody's making a big to-do about this man who was lame. How long was he lame? His whole life. And they're making a big deal. How many know that would be a big deal if you saw someone that was lame and all of a sudden he was walking? Being greatly disturbed that they had taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They put these guys in jail. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came about to be 5,000. And it came to pass in the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest, Cephas and John and Alexander, and as many as were in the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they put John and Peter right in the middle, asked them, "By what power and by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, "Silver and gold we don't have, but that which we have, we got something." And Peter, filled, everybody say filled. See, he is filled. He has something inside of him. But that which we have. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and people and elders of Israel, "If this day you judge it a good deed done upon helpless man," how ridiculous is it that anybody should be doing anything, including especially put these men in jail? Peter's like, "Are you kidding me? All we did was something that was good. Done to this helpless man, and by what means he has been made well." Listen, you want to ask? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you. "Let it be known to you." Watch this. "And as long as you put me in the middle of this, I'm going to take the opportunity to, you know what, as long as we got a crowd, then I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to tell everybody else listening here who did this. by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by this man stands therefore before. Let me tell you why he's whole. And by the way, you guys crucified him and you killed him. Let me tell you why this guy's whole. Because of Jesus Christ. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation. Let me tell you guys, you can go to the bookstore and read as many books as you want. You can go to the gym and work out. You can invest in Microsoft or Apple or whatever you want to do. And let me tell you where wholeness is going to come in your life. It's not going to come from financial success. It's not going to come from rock hard abs. You know what? It's not going to come, you know what, from some gourmet dinner. Let me tell you where it's going to come. It's going to come from Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which men might be. That word saved is the word that means whole. There's no other way by which you're going to be made whole except by Jesus Christ. Next verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, we're going to talk about this in a minute, uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been, what? They had been with Jesus, last verse, and seeing the men whom they had healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I want to talk to you about what's on the inside of you. I want to talk about what's on the outside. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care where you live. I don't care if your hair is dyed or, you know what, it don't make no difference to me. Because if we're going to understand, if we're going to be effective to, you know what, reach our community for Christ, then we've got to work on the inside. Because let me tell you why these men were effective. They were effective not because of how they were educated, not because or what schools they went to, you know what, or how much money they had, but they were effective because they had something. They had put something. They had invested in spirituality is what they did. They had invested their lives in putting Jesus first place in their life, and because of that, when they saw someone that was hurting, they were able to move in the supernatural. Can I tell you what? You have people around you every single day and they're hurting. And God wants to empower us to effectively minister to these people. And I believe that for a great part, I want to say for the most part, but maybe it is for the most part. For the most part, we get so busy, so wrapped up investing in things that are not going to, that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow. How many know we all can get caught up in the materialistic world that Madonna sings about? Is this not right? And we can all get caught up in it. And I'm here to say, guys, we've got to step back and understand if we're going to be effective, we've got to be right for God. And the short version of this sermon is, you know what? You've got to start reading your Bible every day. You've got to start inviting people. And as you start praying every day and expecting for supernatural things to happen, you know what? You are going to be, watch this. How many know when this guy's life was changed forever? And how many know when Peter and John say, hey, I don't even know this guy's name, but hey, bro, will you come to church with us? How many know, I guarantee you that guy's not going to say, no, I'm too busy. See, what I'm talking about is being effective to where, you know what, you are reaching people at a supernatural level that you're meeting their needs. And I tell you what, they're going to be responsive to Jesus. That's what he did. He met people where they were at. That's why he was. That's why Jesus did so many healings. Because why? That was a need. It was a real need. That's why he fed so many people. How many have ever been really, really, really hungry? You know, the other day, I was really, really hungry. I came home, and my mother-in-law made some soup. Oh, my goodness. I told her, I said, Granny, you got to make this soup more often. This is awesome. How many know a good meal can really minister to you? Amen. How many ever had an ailment? You know what? And you go to the doctor and he says, oh, just you know what? Put this on it and you'll feel better, you know, right away. And you're like, you know what? Wow, that is so awesome. Thank you. Remember one time I had smashed my thumb somehow and I could not sleep. I can't even imagine. I can't even tell you how much it was throbbing pain. My thumb was keeping my whole body awake. I couldn't sleep. So you know what? I go to my doctor, Dr. T, and actually she was gracious. I just suffered through the whole night. In the morning, I'm like, man, you know, my thumb hurts, honey, my thumb hurts. She's like, okay. She gets on the internet and she's like, oh, okay, well, here's what you want to do. You want to get a small little nail and heat it up real hot. And then poke it in through that nail. Put the nail in my thumb, just poke it through, and it will relieve the pain. Yeah, this is a true story. I'm like, oh, you are crazy, lady. You are, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. My thumb is aching, and I'm gonna get a nail, heat it up, and sear my thumb. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do right now. So, Pastor, what did you do? I just suffered through it the whole day. And that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, you could find me in the garage looking for a little nail. It's a true story. And then sure enough, I turned on the stove, got it red hot, and just, I'm like, my wife's crazy. Okay. But you ask her who is going by her in the morning, giving her a bunch of kisses, saying thank you, thank you, thank you. In excruciating pain. Yeah, I don't know what you just said, Tyler, but what? Yeah. Excruciating pain, but I tell you what, once that went through, you know what? It just totally alleviated it. Here's my point. My point is, you know what? My wife really ministered to me. My mother-in-law really ministered to me. How many know that was nothing compared to how this guy got ministered to? Yeah. See, if we want to really connect people with Jesus, we've got to minister at a deeper level than we are doing. Amen. And listen to me very carefully. And we have to think, it's part of RIPE. You said, Pastor, what are you teaching today? I'm teaching everything. I'm teaching R, I'm teaching I, I'm teaching P, and I'm teaching E. Amen. And it's part of this expectation where you are expecting. Guys, we have to get off the mentality of, no, that was the apostles. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me, they were quoting a famous theologian, and you know what? And this theologian believed that the supernatural power was given to the apostles for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for a great movement of God in that time. And once the apostles died, then that power, that supernatural power, left with them. And as he was telling me this, I just, from the heart, the mouth speak. I said, you know what? I said, let me tell you what. That is asinine. And I didn't know this guy that well, but I was like, why in the world would you even listen to somebody like that? Let me tell you what my Bible says. My Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. Listen, at the day of Pentecost is when, you know what, the prophetic of the old and the new, the former and the latter, started. And we're still in that today. Are you learning something? See, what's on the inside? That's what matters. Not what's on the outside. I mean, yeah, this is great. You know what? You ever put a lunch pail away and forgot about it? Hello? Ooh, you know what? Look, you know what? Ooh, a moldy sandwich. Let's eat. You know what I mean? That one's not moldy, but you know what I mean? What I'm saying is the inside, it don't make it. It's what's on the inside that matters, not how flashy the outside. Oh, that little cute. You know, what's this called again? Oh, look, Hello Kitty, how cute. You know what I mean? Hey, well, that's nice, but how many know you ain't going to eat the outside? You know what Martin Luther King said? He said, I'm looking forward to the opportunity when my children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Amen. You know what? It's not about the outside. It's about what's inside. And Martin Luther King did a great job in helping this country see. And I'm not saying that we still don't have a lot of work to do, but I'm telling you what, it particularly in the South, I mean, just ungodliness going on based on the exterior. And he saw something. Well, I'm telling you today, you know what? See something in these men and recognize that ability is still, you know what? We can tap into that ability just like they tapped into that ability. Amen. That we can be around people that hearts are broken and bodies are broken and mentally they're broken. You know, most people in hospital aren't in the hospital because they broke their legs. Most people in the hospital today, by far in America, most people in the hospital are in the hospital on some kind of stress-related illness. How many know the Bible says, Jesus said, I let me tell you what my ministry is. One of my ministries is to heal the brokenhearted. Are you learning something today? See, it's not what is on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Yeah, some of you thinking, man, I should have picked Hello Kitty right now, aren't you? Aren't you? Aren't you? Hello. What did they have? Real quickly, write these down. What did they have? Well, they had a lot of things, but I'll go through three real quick. One, they had the promises of God. John and Peter had the promises of God. They were with Jesus when Jesus said, you know what? When he went and he said, those who believe in my name, and he listed a bunch of supernatural things. One of the things he said, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What did they have? That was the promise of God. They had the promise of God. Number two, they had the passion to see broken people healed. Amen. Broken people made whole. Amen. Do we have the passion to see broken people whole? I told you last week, but I'll say it again. As I wasn't feeling nimble to try to run around real quick when I was over passing out cards at the AutoZone. And I saw eight people all get out of the cars at the same time. And I saw them far away. And as I looked at them, I recognized, you know what? I can't, how in the world am I going to get these eight invitation cards to all these people? And I knew I just had a God moment, as it wasn't about passing 8 cards out. It was about having a tenderness for people who were broken. Do we have a passion for broken people? Is there a casualness that we have sometimes? Do we sometimes in the busyness of life, you know what, not take the time to have God's heart and seeing people and really having compassion for people that are broken? They didn't say, hey, here's what they didn't say. They didn't say, we don't have no money and we're already late to prayer. Wow. I'm not saying you. But I'm saying, can we sometimes be so focused on what we need to do that we forget what we need to do? Great story. John Maxwell just hired an assistant pastor. And this guy's resume was awesome. This guy was a go-getter. This guy was sharp. He was excited that he had been able to add this person on his staff. And they have I don't know what they call them, a seniors group. And the seniors group is going to go on this outing. And so they're going to go pick apples, you know what I mean? And so there's a bunch of seniors, they're in the foyer, you know what, about 100, it's a large church, about 100 seniors, and they're just in the foyer, they're just waiting for the buses to come so they can load up. But the buses aren't there yet, and so they're just talking and talking and talking. And the assistant pastor comes in the door to the foyer, and his office is over there, and there's 100 people here, seniors, that are from the church that he was just hired at, and he marches, and John Maxwell is watching his new employee. And this guy comes in the door, and he marches, and he weaves his way past all these people to get to this office, and John Maxwell just follows him, you know what, into his office. He sits down, he opens up his computer, and he lifts up his head, and he recognizes that his senior pastor's there. And he says, can I help you? And John said, yes, I just wanted to know, what are you doing? And he said, and he started to repeat all of it was on his agenda today, that John Maxwell had given him assignments to straighten this up and start organizing this and start calling these people and this whole thing. And he said, here's what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do and do. And he gets done, and he thinks John's going to say, that's awesome. I'm glad you were early today, and I'm glad you're on it, and we're so glad that you're part of this staff. John didn't say that. John asked him again. He said, what are you doing? And he started to go over it again. And John just shook his head and he said, no, you don't understand. What are you doing? And the guy said, here's what, John, you know, because the guy's starting to feel a little nervous. He's like, John, I'm just trying to do what you told me to do, where I'm supposed to be ministering to. And he said, no, you just walked by your assignment. Wow. He said, you had a great opportunity to meet people and encourage people and say, I'm glad you're here and you can have a great time today. And do you need anything? Do you need a water? Nope. He just walked all right by them to go to his desk. You know what these guys had? They had a passion to see broken people healed. That was in them. And lastly, they had a boldness. Everybody say boldness. They had a boldness to do two things, to lift up and to speak up. Think of the text. And Peter lifting him up by the hand. No, God healed him. Well, did God heal this guy?
Yes, he did.
Okay. But here's my question. Who lifted the guy up?
Peter.
Bible doesn't say the Holy Spirit. Bible says Peter did it. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. See, that's what we want to do. We want to, you know what, over-spiritualize it. I'm just saying, you are part of the solution. You are part of the plan. You are God's plant here to get that guy up. And there's got to be something. You and I have got to. You know what? These guys saw Jesus do the supernatural, do the supernatural, do the supernatural, do the supernatural. It became something that they could see it done. It wasn't something that probably won't happen. It was something that was their daily, this just how it goes. And so they had the boldness to say, you know, I'm telling you what, you're getting. See, Peter lifted him up. And when Peter lifted him up, his ankles were strengthened immediately. All right. What didn't they have? What'd they have? They had boldness. They had a willingness to speak up and to lift him up. You know what? They had the heart of God to care about people. What didn't they have? They looked at these guys. They said, you know what? We don't got no money. What else didn't they have? Remember when Peter stood up and started to speak, they tripped out. What did they say? They looked at this guy and they said, you know what? This guy doesn't have any training. These guys are unbelievable. They're not trained. They're not educated. That's what they said. You know what John and Peter had? They had no formal education. Well, I would say they had no education, they had no training, and they had no money. But the truth is, they were trained very well. They had incredible education. You know what they didn't have? They didn't have skinny jeans, formal education. Can you say amen?
Amen.
They weren't trained by the Grey Poupon trainer. Hello? I want you to understand. You don't need to go to seminary to be used mightily of God, to be an incredible speaker of God. You don't need formal training, but you do need training. Silver and gold we don't have. You don't have to drive the fanciest car. Amen. And I don't sweat you if you drive a fancy car. Amen. I get a little annoyed with people who make a qualification that those who are poor are spiritual and those who are rich are not spiritual. That's not true. Or vice versa. Those who are rich are spiritual and those who are poor are unspiritual. How many know that's not true? How many know there's some rich people that are real spiritual? Amen? How many know there's some people that don't drive real nice cars that are very spiritual? See, it's not about that. You know what it's about? Let me tell you about spirituality. If you sow sparingly, you are not going to be spiritual. The other day, I haven't bowled in a long time, but the other day I went bowling. And it was a fascinating event because, you know what, I didn't have, you know, I had to rent the bowling shoes, you know what I mean? But I didn't have the fancy, you know, shiny bowling ball. I had to get one of those funky bowling balls that they got, you know what I mean? And I didn't have a bowling shirt, you know what I mean? Should have wore one of my church shirts, you know what I mean? I got a church shirt that looks like a bowling shirt. I should have wore that. But I'm saying I didn't look, you know, I didn't have the look, you know what I mean? And you know, I didn't have the style. You know what I mean? On my ball, you know, you ever see these pro bowlers and they can twist that ball and it stays, it looks like it's going to go in the gutter, but then it comes in. What are they trying to get? It's a better angle that they're getting. You know, higher percentage to hit all the pins down. I didn't have any of that. You ever see when they bowl, sometimes they'll bowl like this and they'll put their leg over like that. And I have that style either. Amen. But you know what? It was the coolest thing because as I was bowling, you know what? I the first ball I hit, boom, I just knocked them all down. I mean, I felt good. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, okay. So I walk back, grab the ball again, and then you know, I'm lining it up and boom, sure enough. And just, you know what? I just threw that ball hard, and when it hit the pins, it just kind of went boom. You know, Ron, what I'm talking about when it just kind of explodes it out. Boom. How many know I'm feeling good? Did it again. Boom. By the fourth time. Yeah, Tamara's saying, strike three, you're out of here. No. By the fourth time. And I'm telling you, I'm exploding these pins. I'm starting to notice, you know what? There's people on the left and the right, and they're kind of checking me out. Boom, 5, boom, 6, boom, 7. How many know by this time I'm getting a crowd? By this time when I'm hitting the pins, they are starting to clap. And how many know this? How many know this? How many know this? How many know this? See, some of you are smiling. You better watch it. Watch. How many know this? And nowadays, they got that thing up top that shows, and then by this time, I'm in the seventh frame, and now I got a crowd. Yeah. And now when that thing, on the eighth time, now they are clapping. Ninth frame. Boom! Tenth frame. Boom! Da-da-na! 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 Hello? And let me tell you something about that story. I'm going to tell you a couple things about that story. Let me tell you one thing about that story. You know what? And I haven't been in a bowling alley in, I mean, what? You know, I think we took the kids like 8 years ago or something. Yeah, I mean, a long time ago. Okay. Now, let me tell you one more thing about that story. You know what I mean? When I hit that last thing and it went boom, all of a sudden I heard this ringing. My wife said, Drew, you're late. You better get up out of that bed. I said, Pastor, why do you make all this stuff up? Let me tell you what I say. How many did I have? How many were with me? Okay, a couple of gullible people. How many knew that did not happen? Okay. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? Listen, let me tell you why those of you who said, I know that didn't happen. You know why? Because you know. That's not going to happen to somebody who doesn't. You know what? The best bowlers in the world can barely ever do that. You went down there. Actually, this is a true story. If I do go bowling, I get sometimes in 10 frames, I get 2 strikes. But the other times, I'll hit 2 strikes, I'll put 2 balls in a row, boom, boom, strikes, and then I'll throw 8 gutters. I'm telling you, didn't even hit a pin. Here's what I'm saying, guys. Spirituality is based on your willingness to prepare the lunch before. These guys, think about where they were going. They were going to church to what? To pray. That's what they did. They were investing in spirituality. I love what my wife said this morning in prayer. See, we think, let me tell you about spirituality. It doesn't come on accident. It's not automatic. It's stick shift. You have to put it in first gear. You have to make a decision to pray. You have to make a decision that you're going to be generous. You have to make a decision. You have to consciously make a decision that, you know what, you're, you know what, I love what Job said. Job said he makes a covenant with his eyes. See, it's something that you have to make a decision. That's why the Bible can say tell you stuff. That's why James can tell you stuff. He can say like this. He can say, hey, do this. Be slow to speak. Yeah. Amen. I'm just asking you, how many have a tendency to say stupid things? Raise up in your hand if you have a tendency to say stupid things. You know, how many have a tendency to when you're going to get up in the morning to pray, you know, you're like, how many have a tendency to sometimes sleep in, you know, sleep past your prayer time? How many of you intended, you started the first of the year to read your Bible every day, and by January 15th, you had already missed out on that opportunity? How many? How many have a tendency to go? Some of you don't even go over to Bunch and Lunch anymore. How many have a tendency to eat too much? See, and if you don't have your hand raised, I'll talk to you about where liars go in the next service. Okay. See, listen, here's what I'm saying. That for all of us, you know what? God intends us to do incredible things. You know, the Bible says wondrous works were done by the hands of the apostles. And what I'm saying today is that these lunches weren't, you know what, done by accident. They were done on purpose. Silver and gold we don't have. But let me tell you what, we've done the work that we needed to do to make sure that there was spirituality inside of us. That we were tapped into, how many have ever believed in something and then you thought, you started to think, yes, it's going to happen. But then after you didn't see it happen right away, you started to think, it's probably not going to happen. I'm asking, how many? I like the man who Jesus was going to heal his son, and he was so excited, and he said, Lord, I believe. And then right after he said that, I believe he recognized, like many of us. Oh, my goodness. There's a part of me that believes, and there's another part of me that's cynical and doubts and thinks, this will never happen. My marriage will never get better. I'm never going to get out of debt. You know what? My kids are always going to be, you know what, astray. You know what? My daughter, she's always going to have this issue. You know what? This church will never be, you know what, this side. We're never going to be that effective. We're always going to be, you know what I mean? I can't even, you know what, I can only... I've seen young people. You know, this morning I'll brag on some of you today, but this morning in prayer, you know what, Tyler, not because his senior pastor asked him, but here's why, because in this church we've said that our worship needs to be spirit filled, and our prayer needs to be spirit filled. So we had a young man who was coming to prayer, but recognized, man, I've got a gift that I can bring, and it can help us for our prayer to go and become more spiritually infected. And so Tyler has come, and he started to play, you know what, started to use his gift in worship, and this morning worship was prayer was absolutely awesome. Amen. You know, many times, and I'm not saying, you know what, that because I do whatever the Holy Spirit leads. But today, you know what? Worship was awesome. How many felt the presence of the Holy Spirit today? Well, how many know that, you know what? That 3 weeks ago, Angel couldn't play a lick of anything. Couldn't play guitar, couldn't play piano, you know what, couldn't sing, couldn't, you know what I mean? He was like, you know what, matter of fact, I found him at the bowling alley, and I said, hey, we need a worship leader. Right? Okay. See, you know that's not true. You know that's not true. You know that God has been, that he is invested in spiritual things and invested in prayer, and God has developed him as he has availed himself, opened himself up to be used by God. See, it's not coincidental that these two young men are being used mightily by God, that you are being blessed, that they are, watch this, that they are ministering. Not, listen, we didn't sing songs today. We stepped into the supernatural today. How many felt it? I'm just asking. And I'm not saying that you have to go by your feelings, but I'm telling you what anybody with any really degree of spirituality understood. You know what? We weren't singing songs today. We were worshiping the supernatural God at an intimate level. And it was intense and it was awesome. And you know what? And maybe you didn't feel it, but maybe that's just because, you know what? You need to be a little prepared yourself before you come in to worship. I'm not, that's not a negative. I'm not ripping on you. I'm just saying. You can come into worship and never even receive, and everybody else can go, whoa, it was so, I mean, four other people can go, wow, it was so awesome. It was so awesome. It's so awesome. And you can be sitting there and going, well, it was so awesome. I didn't even know that song. Hello? See, what does it have to do with? Here's what it has to do with: a willingness. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, and what's going to happen is you're going to invest, and it's the coolest thing, because you start investing in yourself, in the spiritual, just these disciplines. Everybody say disciplines. I know, that's a bad word. You know what I mean? It's not a bad word. And listen, and we even get, because there's this thought of you know what, no, that's legalistic. That's legalistic. That's legalistic. You don't have to read your Bible every day. That's legalistic. Can I tell you what? You can get out of one side of the ditch to get on the other side of the ditch. Hello? Exactly. Who cares? You know what I mean? When I'm throwing the ball at the left gutter, the left gutter, the left gutter, the left gutter. You know what I mean? And then I go, whoo, you know what? And then I throw the ball in the right gutter. I don't go, yeah, it didn't go in the left gutter this time. Yeah, how many know it's still a zero? Listen, anything can become religious where you're not doing it out of your heart. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to be disciplined to wake up in the morning and spend some time on your knees praying to God, saying, God, I need your help today. It doesn't mean, because, you know, yes, you can read your Bible. It's one of the reasons why I say, I don't care if you get through your Bible in a year. Because I've talked to too many people who got through their Bible in a year, and it was just a checklist. Can you just read a chapter today and spend some time with God? Amen. Hear the heart difference? But we just want to go, no, that's just, you know what, that's just religious. You know, it's all organic. It's, if I don't feel like it, you know what? Listen, how many know it was spiritual for Jesus to go to the cross? How many know there was part of him that didn't feel like going to the cross? We've gotten into such a, you know what, yeah, praise God. We need to make sure we're not doing things just as a rote thing that we do. But we've gotten out of the one side of the ditch to get it on the other side of the ditch. Where it's like, man, if I don't feel like it, I don't do it. And that's supposed to be godly. That's not godly. That's sluggardness. That's laziness. That's unspirituality. And we want to couch it as, well, you know what? I mean, listen, I don't need, you know what, to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to say it that way. The Holy Spirit is quickening you every day to spend time in the Word. You know, maybe you don't feel it because maybe, you know what, you ever felt like, you ever had way too much? I'm not trying to rip on eating right now, but you ever had way too much to eat? And the lady comes by with all the different desserts? And you should go, no way. But the chocolate eclair just speaks to you? Okay. How many know there is something that's speaking to you, but it's not your spirit? All I'm saying is, guys, and I'll, you know what, I'll, as usual, as many times, I'll teach you some more in the second service about this. But here's what I feel the Holy Spirit is just saying to the first service, is just recognize you can be that person who is prepared to give someone else. See, you know what's so cool? Because what happens is, as you're spending time with God and you're preparing your lunch, you know, who cares what's on the outside? But you're preparing your lunch and you're doing the spiritual things you need. It's like, egads, this is a big old honking cookie. Right? How many know this is a big enough cookie that I can have some cookie, but I can share some of that cookie to you? How many would like some of this cookie right now? How many know, you know what? How many know I ain't gonna eat all these nuts? And these are the good ones. I get the deluxe mixed nuts. Amen. You know what? Hey, the peanuts you can save for the ball game. I got it. But how many know? Here's what I'm saying. You start spending some time in prayer. You start spending some time in the Word. Dads, fathers, husbands. What's going to happen is you're going to feel better about yourself. But there's going to be some ministry that you're going to be able to overflow to your wife and to your kids. You're going to look and go, oh my goodness, I can't. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I can't eat all these Doritos. Actually, the truth is I can. But you know what I mean? But you're looking at it and say, listen, there's enough Doritos for me and there's some more. There's enough for you. Silver and gold we don't have. We're not educated to formal. Listen, God's not looking at the exterior. He doesn't care what your formal education is. But he says, you know what? Will you be willing to spend some time with me today? You know what Jesus said to John and Peter? Here's what he said. He said, follow me. And here's what they did. They dropped their nets. And they followed him. See, I believe in the body of Christ. But let me get more specific. I believe in this church. In this church. You said, Pastor, you know what? You're in our faith. I'm not in your faith. I just am telling you what I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you. How many want a pastor that will be a messenger of God? Here's what I believe. I believe in this church that there's too much focus, you know, there's too much hanging on to our nets. There needs to be more dropping our nets. One thing is needed. We really need to, and I'm not going to take that away from this one. I'm not going to tell her to go in the kitchen and spend a bunch of time, you know what, chopping up cilantro. that you can have cilantro on your burritos. Let's just have bean and cheese burritos. Amen. We don't need cilantro, and God knows we don't need Savoia. All I'm saying is, you know what? Maybe, and here's the thing, and you have your burrito, and you have it bean and cheese, and you have it with the carne asada that has been spent time in marinade, and you picked the oranges and the lemons, and you did all this work, and you have the cilantro, and you have the onions, and you have the salsa that's been chopped fresh, and yeah, you have a good burrito, but can I tell you what? Your family needs more than a good burrito. Yeah. I tell parents, you know what? I don't care. Go buy Taco Bell, you know what? And on Wednesday, and you just, you know what? And you buy those cheap, you know what, 49-cent tacos, and just tell your kids, open up your mouth and go bing, 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 bing. So why do you say that? Here's why. Because we're going to church. Do you understand? I believe there needs to be some letting go of the nets. I believe there needs to be some letting go. I believe that we need to, in the beginning of 2018, to start to prepare ourselves more that God can go to us and we can be used to minister to people. Did somebody get something out of? Yes. Is God speaking to somebody? Sweetie?
I just want to be sure we've said it for a little while now that we're hearing God say that we need to prepare ourselves. And RIPE, this series, is about doing just that, that we're preparing ourselves. It's a very practical, step-by-step things that we can do to prepare ourselves. But I want to read to you James chapter 1, verse 22. It's so important for us to understand this truth. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you're fooling yourself. And so we're talking about, in preparing ourselves, there has to be a doing. What are you doing? I get frustrated. Can I just talk to you for a second? I get really frustrated with believers, people in the church, who have concluded and figured out that they question God's word. They question the truth of God's word. Healing is a great area that you know what I'm talking about. People go, well, I don't know, you know. And we begin to let experience override God's word. Here's why I have such a problem with that. How many of you would like to see in our midst that which we read in our Bible concerning healing? We all know what the disciples, if you'd like to see that, I'd like to see that. You know what? How many of you think that would be incredibly valuable to our city, to our families, you know what, to those of us, anyone that's around us, to anyone that we would encounter? How many of you know, how many of you have taken the time to study out and know what God says concerning healing? Like if I could ask you right now, could you stand up and just give me three things that you know of from the scripture that's just very clear that God tells us about healing? I bet you we'd be hard-pressed to be able to stand up and articulate what our Lord has told us concerning healing the sick. So here's what we've come up with right now. Many of us want that. Most of us don't really know what the Lord said concerning that and how to get that. And yet, if you experience what I experience, and because we don't even know, you know what I mean? Do you think we're doing it? I mean, obviously you can't do what you don't know, right? So we're not doing it. And what I find is people will either just drop it as if it's the elephant in the room, is it not? We just pretend like it's not there. We're either doing that or we're pontificating, you know what? I don't think that that's actually, you know what, current for today. We're pontificating like we're educated because we're regurgitating something that we've heard someone say. But James tells us, don't hear the word and not be doers of the word. And so, here's my most frustrating part. The finger gets pointed at God as if God lacks. And you know what I know? I know we are the ones who are lacking. I know, you know what, that we, exactly what James says. Hey, listen, don't be merely listening to the word of God and not doing it, or you're going to deceive yourself. So we walk around in self-deception. Self means it's our choice. I can change it anytime I want. Everyone has the same amount of hours in a day. Do you know anyone who has more than 24 hours in a day? We're all the same. Do you know anyone who has absolutely no insecurities? Anyone? I don't know anyone. My experience is everyone has them. And those that we think that don't have them, sometimes they have the most. But we're really not getting real with ourselves in our lordship of who we are and who we're called to be and what we're walking out. We either just pretend like that elephant's not in the room, or, and it's not just healing, it's all kinds of things. You know what? People will walk around not joyful. You know what? They're not happy. They don't have their joy. But what does the word say about it? And are you doing what you're supposed to do to have the joy? Do you want it? Because if you wanted it, I would think, I mean, you love Jesus. You call him Lord. Why do we call him Lord, Lord, and not do what he asks us to do? If we don't have our joy, where's that at? Who's that on? See, it's every time on us, but that's not where it lands usually. It usually lands like, I don't know. I'm just not receiving anymore at the church, you know? I don't know. It's like, Pastor used to minister to me, but I don't know. Just these days, I'm not really getting anything. I don't know about the church, you know. When I go there, you know, the people, I'm just not going to, you know, I think I'm not going to go to church anymore. You know why? People are just hypocritical. I don't know. I don't feel like they love me when I go there. We get into all kinds of stuff. How many of you know what the word, how many of you know that the word tells us that we are to be set apart to God, that we're to be sanctified and holy? How many know that? Okay. How many know that our sexuality and our purity matters to God? Is there anyone in the room who would say, actually, God doesn't really care? I mean, we can do whatever we want to. Anyone? Okay. So, it blows my mind. How many of you know this world does not believe what we just articulated that we believe? How many of you know that this world has a completely different agenda than holiness, than purity? Totally different. What are you doing about that? Remember we talked 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I don't know, I get lost in time. Remember we talked about, you know what, the king who brought the man to the soldier on the field and said, guard this man. Remember that? Keep this man. And let me tell you something. If you do not keep this man, and he said, here's what he also told him. The king told him, hedge him in. Hedge him in. Keep him, because if you don't, it's going to cost you your life. What are we doing to keep ourselves? You know what I'm experiencing? Children of Christian families, husbands of Christian families. You know what? Everyone's got a smartphone, and nobody has protection on their smartphone. Everyone's got a computer, and everyone's not protecting their computer. Everyone's got Netflix and cable and all this stuff, but nobody's doing anything. We're all pretending like the filth isn't on it that's on it. And yet, we're going to be holy because we know God wants us to be holy. And we're going to be walk in purity because that's what we do. We walk in purity. We are believers. How do we do all of that if we're not doing something? We're told, we all just confessed, we know we're supposed to be holy, we're supposed to be pure. But are we hedging the man in? Are we taking steps, you know what, to make sure that we're protecting, they're hedging the man in, we're protecting him, we're guarding him. Who is him? Him is you. Him is you. Him is your marriage. Him is your children. We have to. Don't just hear the word and not do what it says, deceiving yourself. We're wanting to get real, and many of us in the room, you know what? We're hearing what the Lord has been saying since the beginning of January, and we're making adjustments. And those adjustments are going to move us closer and closer to God. And those adjustments are going to not only be a blessing to us in our life, but it's going to end up being a blessing to everyone around us. But some of us, we haven't made any adjustments. Remember, I don't know, is this you, Drew? I don't know. Are you coming to church or are you coming to change? See, that comes right out of James 1:22. We're not just supposed to be hearers. We're here because we corporately know that we have a king. And our king, you know what, directs our lives. And he tells us what to do. But we need to bow down to that king, don't we? We need to give him that kingship in our life. It's the lordship that we talk about all the time. But it's real practical. And the Lord is saying, hey, you know what? Really, we're not, listen, no one is being deceived except for you if you're not doing the things that you know to do. And we also know there's no condemnations for those who are in Christ Jesus. Shame is Satan's game. And he loves to play it with us. I won't even take a poll. I would wonder how many of us in the room, when's the last time that we, you know, just got on our face and repented to God? Because repentance is a huge part of us staying in fellowship with God. That we repent and that we are working on ourselves, that we're keeping this man. And as things fall short, you know what? We're getting back up. Did I say getting back up? We're getting back up and dusting ourselves off and going, no, that's not going to stay in my life. And we're going to God and we're going to his word, and he's helping change us from the inside out. That's what we need. That's the season that we're in right now. We want all the stuff, but the only one keeping it from us is us. And so we need to begin to just spend more time in the things of God. If we got real with how much time we're really spending in the spirit things. Because we can spend our time. There's so much fleshly stuff. I mean, gosh, man, we are inundated, are we not? There's all kinds of things bidding for your time. There's so much we can do. It's moving at a speed of light. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, you know what I mean? There's what? Hulu and tube TV and what? You know what I mean? There's so much stuff, I don't even know what it is anymore. And here's what happens. You know what? For many of us, we keep on choosing the things of the world. We keep on choosing to be entertained. We keep on choosing to have the world stuff. Rather than, you know what? And is it a big deal if we want to sit down and watch, you know what, a nice movie on Netflix? No, not a big deal. Is it a big deal if we want to have a barbecue or something? No, not a big deal. Here's what's a big deal. When we don't have time that we're becoming intimate with God. We're deceiving ourselves. When we're not finding time in prayer, when we're not finding time, you know what, with him, when we're not working. Listen, feed the spirit and the spirit will get big. Feed the flesh and the flesh will get big. And if we examined our life, you know what? What is going on? And I'm not talking about food at this point. I'm talking about entertainment and games and all the stuff, the things of this world that it's choices for us to spend our time on. Or are we spending our time spiritually doing things that are edifying to our spirit? And so we want all the benefits of what a strong relationship with the Lord will give us. But who's investing in that so that we can have it? That's where we're at right now. You know what? That we're just examining ourselves. Amen? And really beginning to take heed to yourself like the Word of God tells us to. That we would say, wow, you know what? What am I doing? We're going to have, I don't know how we're going to do it. It's going to be soon and very soon. You know what? A family class. I'm not talking about your children to come. On the contrary, where we are going to talk about, you know what, a lot of people don't even know what they're doing when they put this in their kids' hands. And they further don't know how to protect their kids. And you know what I find? Wives are completely clueless to their husbands having smartphones that are not protected. And what you're really opening up there. Our kids the same, even worse. Oh my goodness. We're paying to put porn stars in our kids' hands. And we've done, and they're all with their little friends in all this jazz. I mean, some of the stuff that you will get, you know what that class is about? It's going to be about educating us as believers. How in the world do we walk in holiness when we don't even know what the heck we're doing? It's a choice that we're going to make. And so we're going to hedge our families in. We're going to hedge our marriages in. We're going to hedge ourselves in. So that we can keep this man. Because the king is coming back. And when the king returns, if he finds that we've lost this man, it's going to cost us our life. And that is the truth. And so we all need to stop pretending, you know what, that this stuff isn't real around us. Oh, it's real. It's large and in charge every day. And we are going to make it un-in charge. We're going to start saying, nope, not for me and my house. You know what? Amen. Amen. Amen.